Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Right, I'm Luis Hernandez. For those of you who grew up down here in South Florida, you remember Two Live Crew. You recognize the sound. That was part of the soundtrack of my teenage years. That is a little bit of Two Live Crew, one of the iconic South Florida rap groups that helped shape a unique sound that came from Miami. Today on Sundial, we're going to talk about some of that music with three artists who grew up here. They're going to be at Nova Southeastern University for a symposium tomorrow talking about musical history beginning at 6 o'clock. It's free and open to the public, and there will also be a drop-in dance course from 4 to 6. And if I wasn't a little bit sick, I might actually try that. By the way, this conversation comes as Hamilton, the Broadway hit, is at the Broward Center for a limited run over the next few weeks. So what Miami-based rap song or artist best depicts that Miami sound? You know, find us on Facebook or on Twitter and post and share your pick with us. We'd love to know. Well, joining me now in studio, and this is part of the panel in the symposium coming up tomorrow, Luis Gisbert. He's a photographer and artist with work that focuses on hip-hop and youth culture and Cuban-American history. Luis, it's such a pleasure, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining me is Candy Lopez, also an artist whose work represents individuals within the urban community and using hip-hop as inspiration, also swagger. And I love that idea. Candy, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And William Cordova is joining us as well. He's going to be part of the symposium, and he's a cultural practitioner. William, it's such a pleasure, man. Thanks so much.
Hola, Sacpase. Hello.
All right. So real quickly, all of you, I wanted to get a sense of, for this symposium, what you're going to be talking about, the history of rap music that's coming out of Miami, that's been coming out of Miami for decades now. But what is it exactly in this conversation that you want to share with people? What is it that you want people to either reminisce or think about? William, let me start with you.
I'm always thinking about the synthesis of music in general. And the intersections of South Florida, the Caribbean, Central South America, Mexico, even Europe, and of course, North America, the North, not necessarily Florida. And so a lot of these intersections are very interesting to talk about because we can categorize them or talk about them all as one, especially in South Florida, because sometimes when people speak, they'll speak in Creole, English, Spanish at the same time, and all within one sentence. And I think that's something very unique to South Florida. And it's something that has influenced my practice as a visual practitioner and as well as my peers.
And you know what, let me just, because I want to know also from all of you is because you spent a lot of time, you grew up or you spent a lot of time in South Florida, but for you, the music that came out of South Florida, how did it impact your life?
I think as a child, we don't necessarily define it. Later on, when we leave, I left the state back in 1985 for about 4 months when I was 14 years old. And I realized how much the scene in South Florida was impacting the rest of the country. Not only Miami Vice visual culture,
yeah,
but sonically through a lot of DJ culture. You played Two Live Crew, I think, early on.
Yeah.
And I think that that's an example of really early on. But in 85, Two Live Crew was still in California.
Yeah.
And it wasn't what it became later in 86. And so for me, it was more DJ music, sampling cassette tapes from flea markets, 7th Avenue Flea Market, things like that, that I came back to and started really listening to more because being in Houston really gave me a perspective.
Yeah. Luis, how about you? Tell me a little bit about, your growing up here in South Florida and kind of how what were you listening to, by the way?
Well, if anyone remembers Rhythm 98, which was that, station that between, 85 to 88, they would play specifically Miami bass freestyle music. So that was the soundtrack that was playing when I was in elementary school. But one of the discussions I think that's going around this symposium is this phenomenon of what was hip hop, Miami hip hop music, and how it was inspiring a generation, how it inspired me, because this is the music that you listen to when you're in elementary school, junior high, high school. And then the music, for at least for my art, it was what inspired me before I knew what art was. When I went away, mm-hmm. I left Miami, went to art school, start to look back at your biography, but that specific sound of Miami that was very unique, I didn't know that at the time, and that's the only music I knew because I grew up in Little Havana.
Because you grew up in it, you don't think about it. It's until you leave.
Exactly.
And so then when you left, what did you, then how did it hit you? What did you think about what you were, you know, what you had grown up with?
Well, it's funny because I don't really discover rock and roll music till I go to college. So all through high school, it was just hip hop music pretty much straight across. And of course, you get to classic rock and Debussy and all that. But
right. But
it wasn't until you leave that you start to see this other world. Like, I didn't know what the White Album was when I was in college.
That's all right. No, that's all right. I got introduced to a lot of things at college as well. Candy, what about you? What you know, your experience growing up, and because I want to get a sense of what, you know, what your approach is going to be during this discussion. But, you know, what our approach is today in this talk. What, I mean, what should we be discussing besides just reminiscing?
Well, for the talk that we're having tomorrow for the symposium, we're also incorporating art history within the talk within hip hop. So having this culmination of art and how art has influenced hip-hop and how hip-hop has also influenced art. So I was born in Jersey. I moved down to Miami, and I landed in Hialeah. And it was Bayonne, New Jersey, right? So this is the 80s. And by the time I got to Hialeah, it was the 90s, and everything was about hip-hop and Spanish music.
What were you listening to?
There was a lot of Trina and Trick Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
There was Two Life Crew still on the radio. There was also DJ Laz, which was, you know, the hot
big deal.
Yep.
The big deal back then. So you have that song, Ese Morena, que buena esta, right? So that's something that I grew up listening to, but I didn't realize that it affected me and my artwork until I decided to get my master's degree at FAU. And then I realized, a lot of the things that had to deal with middle school and all the music that I've heard within middle school really impacted the way that I create my work. Like when I'm creating, that's what I have on is hip hop.
Something interesting, and Luis had said it. So, I mean, because I'm also thinking about what era you guys were growing up here in South Florida. But this goes back, and Luis, you had mentioned, for example, like, you know, and William, you also said as well, it's like this is we go back to those days when everything was on cassette, and a lot of how we shared music was cassette. Obviously there was no internet, so there was no YouTube, but it was just like you made a tape.
You recorded off the radio.
You record off the radio and you shared that tape with other people. And Luis, I mean, you had relatives up in New York, right?
And
so you have that sound that's coming out of New York, New Jersey. Where you guys were sharing music, like, hey, but here's what's coming out of Miami.
Exactly. Like, I have cousins that were in Jersey City, and I would get the dose of the New York hip-hop, the Tommy Boy stuff, that was maybe slower to get to Miami through that. So there was definitely, but also the freestyle music, which was being produced in Miami and in New Jersey, and it was back and forth. But yes, it was a tape.
And you know what? Going back to that, I love that. I missed those things, the little cassettes. But what were they saying about what was coming out of Miami, the stuff that you were sending them? Why are you laughing?
Yeah, because that's the thing, the difference, because that was the big thing when you left Miami or got that sense of music, that Miami hip hop, there was really, it was very braggadocio, very explicit, very sexual, very humorous. And there wasn't any conscious hip hop coming out. So it wasn't until you heard Public Enemy or something coming out of, you know, New York that you started to realize, wait, there's another side to hip hop. So Miami music was always known as the party music. Mm-hmm. It was loud bass and funny lyrics.
And William, I loved how you brought up too, because you mentioned Miami Vice, and what it made me think about is how visual. It's not just the sound that was coming out of Miami, but also, I mean, with hip hop, with music in general, there is a visual aspect. And, you know, what was coming out of Miami is there was this unique color vibrancy and a lot of neon. But, I mean, how would you describe what people were seeing, not just hearing, but seeing that was coming out of Miami, especially going back into the 80s?
Well, in 85, when I went to Houston, people were still breakdancing. And that had already faded away about a year and a half before in Miami. So I thought they were way behind. And when I came back, I started just listening to a lot more DJ music. But I also heard back from people from New York. And this is before Lewis's time, which is in 85, 86, 87. People were not taking Southern hip hop very seriously. It was pretty much dismissed in the North and the West Coast up until the late 80s when it started really getting more national. a lot of the acts started getting more national. So they started paying more attention. And eventually, a lot of people from South Florida moved north, first to Orlando, Cheetah Records, and then off to Georgia. And that evolved into...
And you talk about Southern hip hop. I mean, right. Because people like thinking of like the East Coast, West Coast, but there was a Southern hip hop, and there was a number of Southern cities like New Orleans, Atlanta, Miami that were part of that network and creating a very different sound.
Even in Tampa, of course, Orlando and Jacksonville, it slowly started moving up north, and I think Miami took the back seat eventually. And that kind of faded away, like the Southern, the booty bass type of sound, because that's the, how you defined the South Florida rap, not hip hop, because it wasn't hip hop yet.
Right.
It was rap then, which is the two B's and the V, which is the bass, booty, and velocity.
Yeah.
And that's how you differ rap music in South Florida then, especially in the mid 80s to late 80s, from any other state in the or any other city in the U.S.
Yeah. Again, we're talking about some of the history of Miami bass, the Miami bass sound, Miami rap, the evolution of hip hop in South Florida. It's the focus of a symposium that's coming to Nova Southeastern University. It's tomorrow at 6 p.m. It's free and open to the public. There will be a drop-in dance course from 4 to 6. The three panelists hosting this conversation are the artist and photographer Luis Gisbert. He is here in studio. Also joining me is Candy Lopez, artist Candy Lopez, and cultural practitioner William Cordova. And we're listening now to a little bit of DJ Magic Mike, one of those key...
No. That's Vicious Bass.
It's Vicious Bass. It's featuring DJ Magic Mike. My apologies.
Yeah, MC Madness.
This is, Vicious Bass from All Wild DJs. He will tame... featuring DJ Magic Mike. Thank you for clearing that up for me. This is some of that sound coming in, also coming in the 90s as well. All right, so you know, one of the beautiful aspects, I think, of rap music, especially that early rapper, maybe it's just me, but again, this is the older guy talking here, is that it was telling this fascinating story about life in these neighborhoods, in these communities, mostly black communities, this daily struggle, the street violence, police brutality. I'm curious, when you guys were growing up, what was the draw? What was and I know South Florida hip hop telling a little bit of a different story, but I wonder, what was the draw for you? Why was the, whether it was South Florida hip hop or any hip hop, why were you so attracted to it? Candy, let me start with you.
I think it was the connection within the story, like the story of, or the message behind some of the songs. It also related to art as well. So you have this message of survival. So when it comes to the inner city within music, it was a way to politically and socially go the opposite direction of what people were listening to on the radio, or like understood the stories of the young kids that were growing up within this neighborhood. So it was trying to create this message so that they know, hey, there's another way out, or hey, I can relate to what it is that you're going through, at least through the music. And when it comes to the message of survival within art history, survival of, you know, I'm talking back within the Renaissance. So they had, you know, those really big glamorous dresses, and it was always depicting the majority, which were white people.
Right.
So it was a way of showing their survival after they have passed. When we're talking about the message of survival within music, is showing the message of survival within their life, how to live through what it is that they were going through.
And, so, and you know, I was always curious too about, because, and I grew up, I mean, growing up in West Palm Beach. So I grew up in the Wellington community, and this is a predominantly white community. And so not a lot of Hispanics like me, and very few black students at the school, but rap, hip hop, and especially what was coming out of Miami, was really, really popular. And I wondered, you know, what was the connection that we had with the music? We didn't have those issues of survivability as much.
I think it was a way to go also against your parents and what your parents' generation and their music
yes,
was.
Yes, that's true.
So it was a way of rebelling and also telling that story.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a very good point. Luis, what about you? What do you think about that?
Well, for me, that was the landscape. That was all you could hear, because I grew up in Little Havana and went to public school. So white kids were the minority. So it was Latino and then blacks. And that was the music that was there. And it was the radio. And it made, and it, so there was a direct connection of But like we were talking earlier about we were talking about the bass and the electro beat, where I was forgot to mention, like, Baltimore also had a parallel scene that had, so Miami had a big connection to the electro scene that was going on in New York and in Baltimore, with that very basic minimal beat and high cymbal, which in a way it's kind of proto trap, because like rap now has become gone back to being very minimal again, not overly produced, as these early records were also very minimally produced.
You know, William, real quickly too, is, and you had brought it up at the very beginning, is you know, what's unique about South Florida is the fact that, I mean, this is I don't like saying the word diversity, but this is you've got this mesh of people from all over Latin America and the Caribbean, and they're bringing their influence. And so is there one thing that you would say that really did bring that pushed and created a greater influence on rap music, you know, whether it's Caribbean or some other kind of beat that's coming from another part of the world?
Well, before I answer that, I want to you don't like the word diversity?
No.
In relation to this conversation?
It's overused. I think it's overused. And it's like, we get it. Miami, South Florida is so diverse. We get it.
Oh, I see.
That's what I meant by that.
Yeah. No, I don't agree with that. I don't think it's diverse at all. I think it's extremely segregated. But what I'm talking about is certain intersections that certain communities meet at. It doesn't mean that it's diverse. There's certain commonalities, like even if you talk about the music like Boogaloo, that's a coming together of different cultures and races and different genres of music. Salsa, the same. Of course, rock music and how it's evolved. Rap music, when it evolved, it was not only coming from the black community, but it was also coming from the brown community, the Anglo community. It's just that it's very unique to South Florida, that experience. The closest you get to it is maybe New York, but it's not necessarily talked about and not historicized.
I think that, yeah. And you know what? And I wasn't clear, because I think that the way I was thinking of it was, you know, you think even going back into the 70s and beyond is, you know, what that Caribbean influence especially was, Cuban, Puerto Rican, that was, you know, predominant here in South Florida, and how that may have, you know, helped influence. Like, all music is influenced by something before.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what I was coming at.
No, I mean, like, the first rap to come out of Miami was from 1979, which is Xanadu and Sweet Lady, which did Rocker's Choice. And a lot of people don't know about that. And it was two Jamaican singers, and it was released by Joe Gibbs' record company in Opalaka.
No, good point. That's exactly what I wanted to get at. Again, talking about the history of rap here in South Florida, because again, there's a symposium that's coming up, and I want to mention again, it is free and open to the public. It's at Nova Southeastern University. It starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow, and so everybody is welcome to go. And by the way, they do have a drop-in dance course from 4 to 6. So if that's something that, you know, you're interested in, please check it out. We'll have more information, by the way, on our Facebook and on Twitter. Find us at WLRN Sundial. Real quickly, Candy, you were talking about how this music influenced your work as an artist. How so? And I know, I mean, we could talk about different projects. I know I was looking at one of yours, for example, the Miami Project. I thought was fascinating. But, I mean, for you growing up, how did it? How does it play a role daily in your work?
I think it has to do a lot with the culture of hip hop. I am a portrait painter, and I dabble a little bit in within the environment of where these people are from. I think it's important to showcase that environment within places that a lot of majority people go to, because they don't see the real South Florida. They see South Beach. They see where
the
money
tourists.
Is.
They see the tourists.
They see Brickell. They don't see Little Havana or Little Haiti or Carroll City or Opa-locka. That's a place where you don't go, or you know, lock your doors when you're driving by. So it's important for me to showcase these kinds of individuals within my work. And I think a lot of it also has to deal with fashion. This swagger is what I like to use within my work.
Yep.
Because I think it's important for these people. It's a way for them to show their individuality within what it is that they're wearing, and also show that they're not invisible. So the flashier you are, the more swag you have, this vulnerable strength that you're putting off, which is a facade. It's just a mask that you wear.
Yeah.
Just like we're wearing masks right now to be on radio. Just like we wear masks to be a professor,
to see me. I love
right?
That. You know, one of the things though I loved looking back on, especially the Miami Project, was there was a grittiness to it. And I think that's just how I connected to that early hip hop that I remember growing up with in the late 80s. And it was just, even the album covers, there was a grittiness to it. Because it was dealing with something that was right. It was supposed to be real. This isn't, let's not sugarcoat it. Here's the hardcore stuff. Luis, for you, real quickly, what, you know, how does it influence your work? I love, for example, I mean, some of the videos that I've seen, the going back to the turntables, I love the big boom boxes. Right. You love using that image.
Right. Well, it's interesting that we look back at the early days of hip hop and Miami hip hop, that it was an analog. We talked about cassettes, turntables, records, boom boxes. There was a lot of gear. So that translated for me very easily when I started to make sculpture. So being inspired, most visual artists are inspired by music or the music they grew up with or what they listen to currently. So it was inevitable that I was going to be influenced by that music that made a big impact on me. But that the using, then when you go to, you know, connecting it to art history, and how do you connect turntables and speakers? And William is also an artist who has been interested in that.
You also have, William, you have a display that I've seen also, you know, it's that connection to the sound itself. And again, going back to the big woofers and the big speakers, I love those images. A lot of memories for me.
You're talking about Machu Picchu After Dark?
I think sculpture. Yes.
Yes. Yes, it's a silent drum type of sculpture which relates Andean architecture and Afro-Peruvian culture from Peru.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, the synthesis. And the experience that me as a child saw in South Florida when I first arrived, and I mistakenly took disposed of old wooden speakers for Afro-Peruvian cajon, which is Afro-Peruvian drum. Excuse me. Later on, as an adult, spent a year collecting them, and eventually created. I'm talking about disposed of speakers. Created a large tower as a nod to both the synthesis of Afro and Andean cultures, which is from my background and part of Peru, and so that became Machu Picchu After Dark piece. Yeah.
Again, talking with artist and photographer Luis Gasper, artist Candy Lopez, and cultural practitioner William Cordova. They're part of the panel at the symposium tomorrow at Nova Southeastern University. It starts at 6, again, free and open to the public. And we'd love to hear from you, your thoughts. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Let us know. You grew up here in South Florida. What was that Miami rap scene? What was that bass sound that influenced your youth? Share with us. Tell us about your favorite sound, your favorite music. Folks, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for reminiscing. I had a lot of time. Part of my youth. I loved it. All right. Still to come, we're going to talk about the upcoming South Beach Jazz Festival, a program put together to bring awareness to those who are dealing with disabilities and illnesses. That's coming up next. When you slow your blow, didn't have nothing on me, had to let me go. But as I slow roll through the neighborhood, I glance at your car, police of Hollywood. Someday somebody's gonna stop you, Broward County cops.